Oakland. Move this out of the way. All right, let's get going tonight, folks. Call the meeting to order. Ooh. I always wanted to do that. Can I do it again?
Yes, with more authority.
Good afternoon, and I'm not Kevin Burns. My name is Craig Maladra. I'm alderman from the 5th Ward. I'm also mayor pro tem this year. Kevin is at an auction, I think. I don't know who would bid for him, but somebody might. So tonight, you guys are stuck with me. Let's do a roll call, please.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Ralph Dantino. Dorothy Flanagan.
Here.
Sam Hill.
Here.
Dean Kilberg.
Here.
Craig Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Robert Piper.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Here.
All right. For the Pledge of Allegiance, we usually try and find somebody in the audience. Tonight we have Christopher Reading with us. So if you wouldn't mind leading us in the pledge tonight, I'd appreciate it.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Okay. Moving on to item three, special items and presentations. So I already mentioned Christopher Reading. He's here tonight to be sworn in as a Geneva police officer. You still want to do it?
Chris Even is after a, meeting us, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Chris is a Geneva High School graduate. I don't want to know what year you graduated. From there, he went to Western Illinois University, where he majored in law enforcement and forensic psychology. Currently lives in Mill Creek, and he's brought some guests with him.
These are my parents, John and Cindy.
Good evening. Thanks for coming. Lynn's going to do the honors?
Yes.
So the city clerk will do the honors.
Stand next to the lectern.
Yeah. And just gather around here.
Thank you.
Specs on.
They're so good.
Hey, are we all set with that? Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I, Christopher Reading.
I, Christopher Reading.
Having been appointed to the office of police officer.
Having been appointed to the office of police officer.
In the city of Geneva. County of Kane, aforesaid.
County of Kane, aforesaid.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties.
I will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of the office of police officer, according to the best of my ability.
The office of police officer, according to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Come on, Don. Come on.
No, Mom wants to get it right.
Christopher, where are your parents from?
Originally from California, and then transplanted here to the Illinois.
Living where?
Mill Creek.
I see.
Yep.
All right. Congratulations, parents.
Thank you.
You should be very proud of that young man.
Oh, we are.
Good.
It's a great city.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What year did you get out of high school?
I tell you, it's not a good idea to ask.
Sometimes you just don't ask those questions. Like it. Makes us feel old up here.
Okay, now we have an item that's not on the agenda, but I see some Lions here. So tonight the Lions are here to present about Candy Day. We have Doug Warlick, Jim Brennan, Jim Cullen, and
Howie Pribble.
So anybody want to tell us what you're up to?
Yes, I'm
bucket.
As I said, my name is Howie Pribble. I'm the president of the Geneva Lions Club this year. And every year, as we have, we would be doing this year, as in every year in the past that I can remember, we will be holding our Lions Club Candy Day, which is actually a statewide event. We will be holding it in Geneva on October 7th and October 8th. And the proceeds from this go to support the Lions Clubs of Illinois charities, which includes things like Lions Camp in Dixon, which supports our basic function is to support hearing and sight impairments and preservation issues. So these are children who otherwise could not go to a camp because of their hearing or sight disabilities are able to go to this camp. We also support a hearing screening bus that appears here in Geneva, usually in front of the old courthouse, one day a year, that allows anyone in the city of Geneva, or actually anyone that happens to come by, to get a free hearing screening test to see whether they need to do anything further if there's a problem indicated, or go away with a peace of mind that your hearing is fine for another year. Unless that we do every year, every probably two or three years, we have a diagnostic retinopathy screening test, which we'll be able to do more often with funds that come from events like this that will allow that to have its own bus, and we'll be able to maybe do that one annually. Right now, it requires a physical setup. We did it a few years ago in the fire station on Eastside Drive, and I think we've done it at the Methodist Church, but it needs to be done someplace where it can be completely dark, and that's been a problem. Once we get our bus, which we are very close to being able to do that, it'll all be self-contained. We won't have to do all of this logistics in order to get this testing done and offered to the public. So those are just some of the things. There's various other charities that that we fund by our club, the main one locally being an eyeglass provision and testing program, where facilities like Lazarus House and the public schools and other places where there's someone, child or adult, that needs assistance in improving their sight. A good number of the doctors at the Geneva Eye Clinic are a member of our club. They provide their services free of charge, and then the funds that we raise support providing the eyeglasses that we obtain at a nominal cost from various vendors such as Walmart and others that supply them at a low cost. So those are just some of the things the Lions Club does.
All good things. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Pribble?
I do.
Thank
you. How do you get out the word for these testings, and what requirements does somebody have to be able to appreciate the testing that goes on annually?
The only requirement for the test is to be there.
Ah.
And
when, what time?
We have posters that we place in various places of business. We advertise it in the local papers that's up and coming, and also on our website, GenevaLionsClub.org.
You don't know when it's coming up this year?
Just
sometime in the summer or early fall. We're not sure of the date, but we publicize it also on the cable channel.
A Channel 10? Or whatever the public channel is.
Cable channel. And Ellen DeVita is a member of our club, and I believe she'll publicize it around the city hall.
Cool.
Good.
Thank you.
And you plan on passing that tonight?
Well, we don't have a hat, but...
This is the garb that we appear in out on the street, and we're going to allow you folks to be the first to help support the success of our...
Also the people in the audience.
Good to see you, buddy.
Thank you.
Ah, thank you. Cure my cavities.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Very generous alderman. The Beaver aldermen are extremely generous.
Trying to convince that to the city administrator.
I don't need any.
Are you speaking of hang out for the rest of the
give out autographs.
How are you, Doug? Got mine. You.
And 100% of the funds we receive for donations go to the charities we support. I think that's important to know, that none of the monies we raise are used for the fundraising efforts like the club. We do membership pays for the club, what we do, and 100% of the money that we receive.
Yeah, we all have to pay dues. One of our new members recently said, do I have to pay in order to be a volunteer?
Very concept.
And the reason for that is so that all of the money that we do for it actually does go towards the charities and charity that we support.
All right.
Let the record show that your mints are delicious and well worth the $1.
I think we have other people in the audience.
Mrs. McKittrick, go ahead.
Wow.
Hey, guys, I have a question
Mr.
for you.
Mr. Pribble.
Mr. Pribble. Question.
I had a question. Do the Lions still accept the recycled used glasses that you used to, and where would folks drop those off?
You can go to our website. So we have a list of the places in the towns of Geneva and St. Charles. We support both towns.
Okay.
One of them is the library next door.
Great. Thank you.
The others are listed on our website, including every optician in town.
Okay. Thank you.
Lion Jim Cullen, by the way, is the director of that program. Hmm.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thanks.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Find some cash, Doug.
Okay. Do we have any amendments to tonight's agenda? No amendments? All right, moving on. Omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine by the City Council and will be enacted in one motion. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Alderman Marks and Alderman Piper. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, wait, sorry. Oh. That's a roll call.
That's a roll call.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Ron Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Freddie Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
All right. Moving on. Agenda item 9A. Approve a Class E1 temporary liquor license to St. Peter Catholic Church for October 1st, 2011 Fall Dinner Dance.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Kilberg, Alderman Hill.
I need to recuse myself from
Alderman
this.
Marks, okay.
What, can't you dance?
I run the finals.
Should be a big party then, huh? Whoa, it will be a big party.
Okay, you're not recused until you stop talking. All right, do we have any questions? Nope. Okay, this is also a roll call, so.
Let it go, huh? Ron Singer?
A point of order.
Yes, sir.
Attorney Radovich, I happen to be a collector at the masses at St. Peter's, an usher, so to speak. Do I
That's
need
not
to
a disqualification.
Does not. Okay. Thank you.
All set. Presume. Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
All right.
Is that seven?
Okay, 9B, approve resolution number 2011-67, authorizing a budget amendment, amending the tree nursery fund to allocate the remaining balance of as shown. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Alderman Hill, do I have a second?
Second.
Alderman Flanagan. Questions?
I just have a comment.
Alderman Flanagan.
I just have a comment to thank Mary McKittrick for answering a lot of my questions about the tree nursery fund, so thank you very much.
Okay.
It might,
Alderman Kilbert.
It might be beneficial just to, for those that may not have access to the information that we have, that the total amount that we've allocated, additional funds that we've allocated to this effort is $300,000 for...
That comes up on the next item.
Okay. I didn't know if you were going to read that or not.
Yeah. We'll get to the big number.
Very good.
All right. Alderman Marks.
Steve, does this take care of all of the trees at this point, or what's, are we just taking care of the ones that are really bad, or, you know, I thought we talked last week there was like 2,000 trees left.
Yeah, I think with this amount combined with our city staff, we'll be able to do a very good dent. It won't take care of everything. And, pardon me, keep in mind that this money is going to be focused and directed towards tree removal and net stumps and tree planting. So we should be very close right now.
Okay. So should people still keep putting in tickets onto the website if they have a tree, or are we going around and pretty much, what's the process?
The procedure is to call Public Works and notify us. We don't have staff to be out canvassing, so it's very important that the public is aware and does contact us if they have any questions about the Parkway tree.
Mr. Chairman?
I just wanted to clarify for the public that we are talking about city-owned property, trees on parkways. This is not applicable to private property. Thank you.
Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, this does not include the stump removal. Is that what you said, Steve? I think you said that.
No, this is based on the committee of the whole discussion last Monday. The decision at that time or the discussion focused on removing the dangerous trees first. Mm-hmm. And then worry about stump grinding and tree replacement at a later date.
Oh, okay. Stumps will remain there then for over the winter time, probably at least?
It could be. If we have available funds, we'll go ahead and stump grind.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. If we can't use these funds, will they carry over in this fund to next year if we don't manage to use them all, or? By writing a contract for these funds, will that automatically tie the funds up?
It will not. Hmm. We would need to the contract would be for an amount not to exceed,
right.
But this authority ends April 30th with this budget, so we would just reappropriate.
Well, this is
next
a
year.
Very ambitious program, so there's a chance, given weather and everything else, that we wouldn't be able to use all these funds, correct?
There's a possibility, but we are discussing using a contractor here for these funds.
I understand that's coming up later, but even then, there's reasons why it may not all get expended.
It could if we have a bad...
You're trying your best, but weather and snowfalls and everything else can disrupt...
That is true.
...some major problem somewhere else that your crew has to take care of.
Well, yeah, and a severe winter could, you know, impact the progress of this task.
But the funds we can then... decide into next year's budget at the end of this year what we're going to do. Okay.
Correct.
Right. But the point is, at this point, the city is committing to spending those funds on taking down diseased ash trees. Is that basically what this motion is about? Yes. Okay. And I'm certainly in favor of that. Thank you.
Okay. Alderman Kilbert.
Go ahead, Mary, if you had something.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify as far as the stump grinding. We do have our crews working on that. So we will be continuing to grind stumps. It'll just be at a slower pace than the contractors taking down the trees.
Sure, fine.
Okay. This might be a good time for some clarification. We're talking about the parkway, and I think sometimes people have confusion about what actually the parkway is. And I think a lot of people are of the assumption that the tree has to be outside the sidewalk to be in the parkway, and that's not necessarily true. Steve, you might explain that. It's really from the center of the street, right?
Yes, it is, but unfortunately, sometimes the right-of-ways are not in the center of the street. So, for example, if you don't have a sidewalk that runs adjacent to the street, you may want to call anyway, just in case, because it may be close enough that it's in the right-of-way. So if it's in front of the house, you don't have a sidewalk, and it's difficult to tell one way or the other, the safe approach is to call Public Works and we'll come out and we'll check the lot lines and find out exactly if it's a private or public tree.
Great. Thank you, Steve.
I have a follow-up question, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for this question because I wasn't here last week, and so I wasn't involved in that discussion. But as I understand it, the residents who have the trees that they think are affected must call the Public Works Department to get the tree removed, or are you going to go down a street and remove all of the affected ash trees?
At this point in time, we're going to focus on the calls that we receive.
Okay.
We want to make sure the communication between our customers, residents,
yes,
and the city is a two-way street so that they know what we're doing and they can contact us if they have any questions. We do not remove any trees without notifying the adjacent property owner prior to.
Oh, okay.
But in the meantime, you're also looking for trees that in your estimation look like they're a safety hazard.
Absolutely. If you see one and you report it to us, or if our staff sees it, we report it, then we'll generate a service request. We'll find out the local address, and then we'll find out who lives there to make sure that we communicate with the resident prior to doing any work.
I noticed coming down the East Hill on State Street, there's a large number of trees with X's on them, and they're all hanging over the roadway, which is, in my mind, a safety hazard in the winter. So.
Yes, it is. And
I don't know who identified those, but it was certainly correct.
It was brought to our attention by some residents and Alderman Dean Kilberg.
Thank you.
All right. Any more questions? Okay. Another voice vote, please.
Roll call.
Roll call, sorry.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
All right. Item 9C, approve waiving bid process and approval of resolution number 2011-68, authorizing execution of a contract with Winkler Tree Service in an amount not to exceed $300,000 for the Emerald Ash Borer tree removal, that $300,000 being the sum of the budget resolutions we just passed.
So move.
Second.
Alderman Singer moves and Alderman Hill seconds. Any questions? Alderman Brown.
Mr. Mayor, I want to point out that because of the waiver of the bidding process, this would require a two-thirds vote of the Alderman holding office. In other words, seven affirmative votes.
Okay. Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up, since this is a not to exceed, I presume they're billing on a per tree basis. I notice that their quote is all in terms of per tree, right?
That's correct. What's going to happen is that we generate the service request. We'll decide which ones they're going to do. They return it back to us. We'll keep a track and a tally, and we'll be, you know, invoiced accordingly, and we'll cross-check it with our records.
When they take the tree down.
That's correct.
Absolutely. Thank you. That was obvious, I guess. Thank you.
Alderman Kilberg.
I think just for the record, I think the public needs to know that there were actually three companies that competed for this business, and that the award went to Winkler, which was looked like a very aggressive bid compared to the other two. And hopefully they'll do a good job for us. Thank you.
Okay.
More accurately, three proposals.
Right.
Correct, Steve?
Yes. Actually, we received three proposals out of five.
Okay. All right. Any more questions? Alderman Marks.
You know, their quote did include stump grinding and restoration, but we are not using that at this point. Is that
correct? That's correct. What we were trying to do is get an idea of what it's going to cost us in the future.
It looked like a fairly low price compared to the other ones.
Yes, it is.
I'm wondering if they can do it cheaper than what we can do it at that cost.
Well, and the whole idea was to get some proposals so that we can understand what the costs are going to be in the future for us.
Okay.
Mr.
Alderman
Chairman?
Singer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Stephen, I'm curious, where are these final distribution of these cut logs and going to be relocated somewhere in our community, or?
No. Part of the contract is going to require the contractor to take all the wood chips and all the wood off-site. They will be responsible to dispose of it.
They will. Okay.
Do they have to chip it, which is the only way to kill the disease?
Yes. Typically what you do is with a – you can probably go up to about a 12-inch diameter log. The brush chippers will handle that, and it's all chipped. And then what they'll do is they'll take the wood to a sawyer who is a miller, and they'll turn it into wood that can be used.
But it seems to me you want to make sure you kill the bug. And
yes, you do. You do. And there's a process that they can utilize by going to these sawyers that are throughout all of Illinois that will be able to mill and kill the bug when they process the wood.
Patrick Candace, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, roll call for this one.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
John Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Gene Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Get seven. Okay, motion passes. 9D, approved resolution number 2011-69, authorizing the creation of a citywide 50-50 tree replacement program. I have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Bolesburg, Alderman Flanagan seconds. Steve, you want to describe what this is?
Basically, what we're looking to do is it's a program that's very common in most of the municipalities that are located in this area. What they do is they ask the residents to split the cost of a new parkway tree. We're one of the last, I guess, municipality that really absorbs the entire cost of replacing or installing new parkway trees. What we're looking to do is to modify that program to be consistent with other communities. This will allow us to plant more trees than we typically can when we fund it ourselves. So in an attempt to plant more trees because of the emerald ash borer situation, this is an effort that the community can help us reintroduce our urban forestry due to this infestation. It's not exceeding anything. This is not a high-cost program. Typically, we pay anywhere about $300 for a 2.5-inch tree to be, and that's a 2.5-inch diameter tree at breast height. So it's really about 2.5 inches, but it also is about 15 feet tall, so it's a decent-sized tree. And $300 for the entire tree to be harvested, installed, delivered is a very good price. We would be asking the residents to split that cost for us.
Okay. Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last week there was a discussion that if the residents wanted to help out and wanted a smaller, were willing to go with a smaller tree, that that would be allowed because the cost is quite a bit less for a 2-inch tree as compared to a 3-inch tree.
If they want to pursue the NRC's program, that would be fine.
So even though you don't say it, the thing that bothered me is this resolution looks a little bit sparse here. There's nothing in the resolution with any detail whatsoever. The resolution that we actually have in front of us to approve is one line, basically saying that we are authorized to execute a 50-50 program. But you're saying that does include the possibility of asking for a smaller tree on if the resident feels they can't afford $150, dollars, but would willing to go with a smaller tree, they have the right to ask you that.
Not the city of Geneva, no. What our program is going to be is it's going to be this tree, this location, this type of tree. You may be able to select a tree, and it's going to be a 50-50 program. If you decline to do that, we won't put a tree in the parkway. Now, the NRC, Natural Resource Committee, is proposing a program where they're going to sell smaller trees to the residents if they want to buy them and plant them themselves. And with conjunction with the NRC, apparently right now we don't have a problem with that program. It's going to be discussed at the town hall meeting in October. But that is separate of this program. That would be entirely different. It would not be managed by city staff. It would be managed by the NRC.
Again, I think that this resolution is a little bit sparse in terms of what it's describing here. I have a handout on the dais here, Geneva Parkway Tree Planting Program. It says nothing in it about the size of trees. So your 3-inch requirement is not part of city ordinance at the moment?
It is part of city ordinance, and the bottom line is that if anybody wants to do any planting on the parkway, they've got to conform to our planting specifications, receive a permit, and authorization to do so. So not anybody.
But they can plant a 2-inch.
We're willing to work with the NRC to do that if somebody is going to have a hardship with that.
I don't understand exactly. You're saying the default is a 3-inch tree here, and it's approximately $300, and the participant's portion would be $150. But you're willing to work with people to plant a smaller tree.
That is something that's still up to the NRC.
I think we have to be clear about it. It's also, I think, subject to the type and size of trees we can get. I don't think that Steve's going to be going out to taking an individual shopping list and going to look for trees of a specific description for different homeowners. I think that we're going to offer 50-50, and you got to correct me if I'm wrong, and everybody here is used to that. But I think that we're going to be offering 50-50 on the trees that we're able to provide.
And correct? That's correct.
Only on 3-inch trees?
Only on the trees that our standards require, 2.5-inch trees. Those are the only trees that we're going to manage and we're going to plant. If the NRC wants to go ahead with this other program, we are trying to accommodate that request right now.
So if I wait to work with the city, if I wait to work with the city, I have a choice of paying for half of a $300 tree, $150, mm-hmm. or if I work with the NRC, I can spend maybe $100 on a whole tree myself and maybe get it a little earlier.
And smaller, much smaller.
And much smaller.
Much smaller.
Okay.
And we
again,
don't know the quality.
I don't see that detail.
We don't know the quality
that
of that. Yeah, we don't know the quality of that tree. I can guarantee you the trees that we're getting are grown for us in northern Illinois. The trees that you're going to buy from some little plant, we have no idea where they came from. So I guess we're trying to accommodate the NRC's request to help out with this program, but from the city standpoint or Public Works, we have a planting program, and it's going to be a 2.5-inch tree. We're not wavering from our standards, but if somebody wants to work with the NRC, I guess we're trying to accommodate that request. Instead of saying just no, we're not.
I think I understand exactly where you're coming from, but I'm looking at the ordinance and there's nothing of that detail in it. So by approving this ordinance, what exactly are we approving?
Okay.
If I could, we already have an ordinance in place. The code already outlines the diameter, the minimum diameter, and the species of trees. So we didn't need to put that in the 50-50 program ordinance because okay. That's already codified. What we're trying to put into place is permission to establish a 50-50 program for those specifications that are already codified.
Okay.
If the Natural Resources Committee's idea about a program to sell smaller trees goes forward, we would want to come back to the City Council to make sure that you're all right with doing that.
So that would end up being a separate resolution authorizing
correct.
A separate change to the city code.
Well, it wouldn't necessarily be a change to the city code. It would be, this would be a program that they would be doing on a temporary basis. So I would say by resolution, because it could be a one-time program.
We would still have to approve it because
yes,
in some sense it is disagreeing with the existing ordinance,
correct.
Which
that's
you say does require the bigger tree.
Correct.
Okay. So tonight what we're just, all we're doing is approving, and what the residents get out of this by spending by paying for half of the tree, is they're liable to get a tree much quicker than if they wait eventually for us to, or is the plan that this is forever, that a person's tree will never be replaced unless they can come up with $150? Is that what this ordinance is suggesting?
I think at this point we're saying until further notice, because right now we have no funds at this point in time, and I would like to recommend and suggest to the council that this is something discussed at our strategic planning workshop.
Right.
That will be upcoming because we do not have a minimal amount of funding, but really we don't have any substantial funds for replacement. So that is something that does need to be discussed.
Okay, and I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem, except I want to make sure that everybody understands that what we're doing here is saying that for the foreseeable future, which probably includes until the end, until we manage to get on top of this whole ash borer problem, that there will be no city tree, there will be no parkway trees planted unless the public is willing to go 50-50. If you're not, then you have to wait for us to conquer this problem.
I would say there will probably be exceptions to that rule. For example, city facilities, you know, obviously we would want to plant them on city parkways or facilities, city properties and such.
I think that the reality of the situation might lead to what you've described, but it's not our intent to force that issue. Does that
well,
make sense?
Well, it may not be the intent, but basically operationally what we're saying with this resolution tonight is that for the foreseeable future, which means until we conquer this ash borer problem, there will be no parkway trees planted in front of residents unless they're willing to go 50-50.
That's correct, because
that's
as
correct.
It stands
so
right
I just
now,
want to make sure everyone
we have no funding
again,
to do that.
Again, the wording of this is so short that it really doesn't say the implications. The operational implication of this is that we're only planting trees under the 50-50 program well, for the foreseeable future.
And we should be clear, though, that the intent is to try to get some sort of jump start to planting trees, because if we don't do this, we aren't planting any trees,
try
period.
To plant twice as many trees as we could have otherwise.
Exactly.
I agree. But I just want to make sure that's clear, because certainly there's no wording in the resolution that makes it clear, that point clear. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Steve.
Ms. Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you. Just to flip the question the opposite way, if a neighbor is willing, a resident is willing to pay their 50%, but we don't have our funds, then for our half, it gets delayed till we have the funding in the budget, right?
Budget would have to.
So we still have to have our own half.
Yes, we would have to have budget authority to expend those funds that match those dollars.
Okay, thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
And Mary, right now we don't have anything allocated to that.
We have, is it 38?
Yes, that's 1,000
allocated to replanting.
Okay, for this year, and
correct.
We need to do something next.
Which
year.
Is approximately 200 trees. Or
38,000 is probably maybe 140 trees.
So with this program, that may be 280 instead
right.
of 100.
Yes, it definitely would increase
that's
volume.
Certainly progress. Thank you,
Alderman Hill.
So, Steve, the trees that have been removed perhaps in the spring and nothing is planted, is that where they'll be affected by the 50-50 program, or is that going to be, will they be replaced under the old concept, or the old program, out of the 38,000, or do we know?
I think...
Any tree planted after this time.
Yeah. I would
after
say
tonight?
Until we can appropriate funding,
yeah.
we have a 50-50 program.
Okay, after effective tonight, it's a 50-50 program. Okay, fine. Is there a remote danger in the future with so many communities buying these trees to be planted that the size of the available trees might be enlarged to 4-inch diameter, which would increase the cost?
No, the way we're set up right now, Alderman, is that we belong to the West Suburban Tree Consortium, and we place our orders 5 years out.
Ah.
So the nurseries in the local area grow the trees for the required orders. Okay. And they're always very flexible up and down if you need more or you need less. But no, the benefit of belonging to this tree consortium is the fact that we can secure our trees in advance.
Ah.
So we don't have to worry about lack of certain types of trees or sizes or quality of trees.
Good. How long does it take for one of these trees to be grown to 3-inch and 2.5-inch in diameter? Do you have any idea?
4 or 5 years, depending on the type of you know, climate and weather.
Fine. Thank you very much. I think it's
thank
a pretty
you. Just one last question, I swear. For anyone, and maybe we already said this and I wasn't as clear, but for anyone who really it's important to them to have their tree put in the right away, as long as they follow the code, they are open to buying their own tree within the code specifications and planting themselves, right?
Absolutely.
So they're, because some people really, it is important to get that tree planted now. Sooner the better. So that is how you could go about it.
Absolutely. All you have to do is just notify Public Works so that we are aware of the situation and we'll work with the homeowner to make sure it happens.
Okay. Thank you.
But you are allowing people to plant smaller trees.
Not at this time, we're not.
Ah. So at the moment, anyone who plants a tree has to be with the larger tree.
That's correct. And you'd be surprised the number of people that call and say they want to plant a bigger tree.
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
At their own cost, too.
Okay. Thank you. So the smaller tree is something in the future that we'd have to prove separately with if the NRC comes up with an acceptable program.
That's correct.
Great. Thank you.
Alderman Singer.
Thank you. Stephen, what is the, do they call it a warranty or a guarantee as far as the trees?
Another very positive aspect of this tree consortium is that they have to guarantee the trees, and they always do a mortality check 6 months after they're planted.
6 months.
And one of the things that we've noticed that's very positive about this program is the mortality rate's anywhere from 2 to 3%. Whereas when we were going out for bids and buying trees, our mortality rate was anywhere at 20%. Mm-hmm. So this program and where we get these trees is producing a lot of benefits.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. That replacement tree is at the cost of the nursery.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry to keep this going, but then another thought came into my head. What if the homeowner plants a tree in the parkway and it dies?
That's their problem.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
Except we have to cut it down.
Okay. So back to the 50-50 program. Thanks. Mrs. McKittrick.
If I could, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to explain you have a couple of brochures in front of you, and these are were done last week after our Committee of the Whole meeting in-house by staff. But we produced one, the bifold brochure, which we will make available to the public, more of them. We just printed enough tonight, really, for the City Council to see. But this explains our EAB program, our Emerald Ash Borer, and what the city's program is and what we've been working on since 2007, 2008. Those we will make available. The other puts into place the guidelines that we already have as far as procedures and as far as code. But we did add one caveat to this, one change actually, and that was the 50-50 program. So based upon subject to your approval this evening, then we would go ahead and print more of these and make these available to the public so that they've got guidelines and standards if they want to plant or if they want the city to plant trees in the parkway.
You recommend we read these and maybe even proofread them?
Yes, I would appreciate that, actually.
Thank you.
Call the question.
I have a question on that particular issue.
On with the brochures?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Is it possible to stuff in these in the envelopes with the utility bills so all property owners see it for sure?
We're looking into the cost of that, and not for the glossy paper that we've used.
Okay.
We just ordered a ream of that to print these. But just regular paper, it would be about $2,500 to include them in one utility billing.
That sounds like a lot of money, but and it certainly is to all of us, but that way we are assured of all property owners knowing and having this information rather than just by chance or putting it out on email or letting the newspapers report it. So I would hope that we could do that. I'd contribute a couple bucks to that.
Okay. Back to the 50-50. We have a motion. We have a second. We need a roll call for this, too, because it involves the city matching funds.
Finally. Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
All right. Item 10, municipal bills for payment.
Bills for payment total $1,905,188.31.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read. The individual bills that contribute to that total are displayed on the city's website in the city packet for tonight.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Alderman Flanagan seconds. As is roll call. Mm-hmm. Roll call again.
Don Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Gene Kilburg.
Aye.
Fred Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Okay, that brings us to item 11A. Approve no changes to owner consent provisions for historic district landmark applications. I don't know exactly why this is not on the omnibus, because it passed the Committee of the Whole unanimously. But I, for one, am sort of glad that it is. I expected some discussion about this issue at the Committee of the Whole meeting, but the question was called fairly rapidly. So if anybody has anything they would like to ask or say about this, this is a good opportunity to do it. Alderman Marks.
You know, I understand where we're going with this, but my only concern is I lean probably more towards the two-thirds vote, because I look at it almost as an annexation. We really are taking property away from somebody, or putting a restriction on their property that is not normally there without their approval. So I would go along with it, but I would really prefer the two-thirds vote, actually.
Any other comments? Alderman Goldberg.
Well, I'm sorry that I was absent last week. Never reheat shrimp the next day. But kind of along with what Alderman Mark said, I'm actually going to vote no, because of I feel like I don't like to put that much restriction on private property without their consent.
Okay. I can comment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Have you been recognized?
Over.
Thank you. My take on it, we've had an awful lot of discussion about this issue, and throughout all that discussion, I've given a lot of thought to the two-thirds majority. And what it comes back to me is, how many things do we do as a city that actually do require a two-thirds majority? And there's really it's a big gun to be used in really big circumstances. And I think that the checks and balances that we have in place haven't shown themselves to have failed up to this point. So I'm not sure it's time to use that big gun. So I'm going to wait for the tape. At least it wasn't Alderman Vogelsberg's telephone.
Oh, sure. I forgot to sign.
So I'm going to vote in favor of this motion.
We don't have a motion.
We don't have a motion. Oh, thank you.
I wasn't going to make a motion.
Second.
I got a second from Alderman Hill and a motion from Alderman Piper. Okay. Let's do a roll call on this.
Nope.
I'm sorry.
I was trying to.
I thought you were correcting me that we didn't have a motion.
No. To the two-thirds, I like that idea, but I can live with the way we're addressing it currently. I, too, had some reservation about the owner consent, but I will keep it in because I think it's a safeguard. So, and that's the only reason I'm keeping it in. Other than that, I would have voted the way Alderman Vogelsberg had voted. So,
all right.
Thank you.
All right. Good. It's not a public hearing. I just wanted the council
you
to
still
have
ask the audience if they're interested. Okay.
All right. Does anybody in the audience have anything they'd like to add? See, I knew this guy was going to.
You knew I was going to be. I just want to say, my name is Colin Campbell. We have supported this all along, leaving the ordinance as it is. We trust you. You guys do a good job. You don't have to put restrictions on yourselves. You're fine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Wasn't that worth it, Craig?
Definitely worth it. To be told that we're trusted is a good thing to hear. So let's vote.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Nay.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilburg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
All right, folks. That brings us down to new business. Does anybody have any new business for the city council? Nope. All right, I guess that means it's time to adjourn.
2.5 minutes on.
He trusted us.
We got a motion to adjourn from
he trusted moment. Us until we got ready to adjourn. Now he just takes off. What the hell did happen?
I'm still here.
That's good.
Second, if
wait,
no one
folks,
has seconded.
Before we adjourn, I do have one item of new business. The Union Pacific Railroad confirmed today that they plan to shut down the crossing at Western Avenue on the 21st. To redo the crossing, it will be closed for 7 to 10 days, and we'll take advantage of that opportunity to get out there and do some water main repairs as well. So 10 days of not being able to cross the tracks at Western Avenue.
So starting Wednesday?
That's this Wednesday,
yeah,
to the
30th. I was wondering if it was, but so it's Wednesday.
Does anybody want to say, didn't they just repair that crossing in October?
They did a little bit, but they're really going to do it.
I think
job.
That's when they finally went all the work.
Right. Okay.
There was an announcement that had gone out. They had originally stated that they were closing it tomorrow, but then they changed it, and they will be closing it on Wednesday for 7 to 10 days. So
good.
And the Route 31 overpass, that work is done, and that has been reopened. So.
Okay, so we had a motion and a second to
it. Restate that? I didn't get it.
Okay.
Second.
Do we have Alderman Piper, and who seconded the motion to adjourn?
I did.
Alderman Hill.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All in favor?
I thought I did.
I'm sorry.
Any opposed? All right, folks, good night.
My mistake.